What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yes, we are back and we're going to get straight into it because we are on a time crunch. So,
we're parents now. Yes, that's where we've been. Yes,
hello, we're back. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about this episode. Yeah, what we're going to parenting like.
We're going to, yeah, this one's just going to be a sit down conversation about the past couple months and then in summary. Really short.
Yes. Basically then, where we've been.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And yeah. Then other episodes we'll get into like more, you know, messages for y'all. But for this one, we just really missed you guys and wanted to sit down and just talk about how parenting has changed our lives and our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if y'all are looking for a biblical message or something, this episode's not for you. Check us back in episode 2 of this season.
But if y'all are interested in our lives,
yes,
and you want to hear how the past couple months have been, and if you're thinking about having a baby and you just want to hear about someone else's experience, then yeah.
Yes.
Hope y'all listen.
Yes. So first off, honey, let's talk about expectations versus reality. That's what I would like to start off with.
That's a good one.
And okay. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the birth story.
I think I'm going to do that on my personal YouTube. Yeah, so for all the girls that listen, I do have a personal YouTube. I only have a couple videos on there, but I'm thinking about sitting down and doing like a full birth story. Maybe I'll do it in this room in my podcast chair and just talk to you guys.
Yeah. So I kind of want to talk more about parenting than that. So if you guys want to go listen to that, go to her channel. But expectations versus reality when it comes to having a kid. So to begin with, expectation wise, I would like to say that we thought it was going to be substantially easier than what we may have encountered. We thought we were going to be gone from the podcast specifically for like maybe 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's turned into 5 months or something like that. I maybe 6 months.
Yeah, I honestly don't
know. I'm not sure. But we didn't really expect how hard it was going to be because everyone made it seem like it was going to be very easy. And this is something that Michelle and I have really had to navigate in our marriage and also with other parents is their reality is probably not going to be our reality. And also other people's relationships are not going to be the same as yours as well.
Yeah.
So for example, we had, we have some close friends of ours that just had a baby. They hit 2 months. Their daughter was sleeping through the night already. So when they told us that Macy was just being born, we were like, oh wow, you only like don't sleep for like a month and a half. Like we can definitely do that. So it's month 5. She's still not sleeping through the night. And like again, also hold on, let me say something real quick. We don't want comments about telling us what to do. This is not the this is not the place for that.
Yeah.
I'm telling everyone right now, we are not looking for feedback. And I appreciate y'all thinking of us, but we are actually not looking for advice. And the reason why is because we have done literally everything. So the trick, the book that y'all are going to recommend us to read or whatever, we've done it.
Here's so, the thing.
So save some time and don't leave a comment when it comes to giving us advice. I appreciate y'all, but we don't need it. Trust me, we've done everything.
And your baby's not our baby.
Yes.
That's another thing that I've realized.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I was getting at is expectation wise, we were like, oh, this is going to be super easy. We'll be able to, you know, keep our jobs and still do other activities because she'll be sleeping the whole time. Yet the first 3 months of her life, she was very colicky. She was screaming like we were literally beating her. Mm-hmm. And
like when she was awake, like yeah. that, if she was not like sleeping or eating, she was screaming.
She was screaming.
And I'm not saying like, like her face bright red, yeah. mouth wide open,
yeah.
screaming.
Yeah. It was not good.
It was traumatizing.
It was very traumatizing. And I mean, I'll just be honest with you guys. The first like couple months, we were like, we're never going to have kids again. Mm-hmm. And it sucked because all the stories you hear is kids are a blessing. Kids are a blessing. Kids are great. Kids are great. And Michelle and I were looking at each other during the first 2 to 3 months. And we were like, this actually like sucks really bad.
Now,
like it's not fun at all. I don't know where people like, are we just not good parents?
Yeah. Or, I'm not saying that we're not grateful for our baby at all. Please don't listen to this episode and be like, y'all are so ungrateful. There's people out here who can't get pregnant and y'all get pregnant right away and don't like your baby. No, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, honey.
We were so excited to be pregnant and to have a baby. We still are. Mm-hmm. We love her with literally all of us. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we're not going to sugarcoat the fact that the past the first 2 to 3 months was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, be a highlight reel like a lot of moms on social media. I'm going to be real and honest and vulnerable. It's been really difficult. And navigating that and also all of these postpartum hormones and, like, it's been really hard.
Yeah.
Like, really, really hard.
And then on, like, the husband side of things, I see my wife going through this and it makes me feel some type of way of me not thinking I'm doing enough for her. So that's been a whole nother challenge in our relationship that we've had to navigate, is just being there for each other. And although we may not understand what that person is feeling, it's still being there with them. So she will, or something Michelle will do is if Macy's not having a good day or she'll start crying or whatever, Michelle will start crying too. And in my mind, my thought process is, well, there's nothing wrong with Macy. So I don't, like, she's just crying. She's just a baby. I don't know why my wife's crying. And that was like the first 2 months that was in my head. I'm like, why are you crying? Like nothing's, like, she's just a baby. We're mm-hmm. going to have to get over it. And
because there really was nothing wrong with her. Yes. Like, I know people are always like, change your diet, do all of this, because she was breastfeeding. Yeah. Like, well, she wasn't getting enough food, but that's a whole side topic because once we figured that out, she was still crying.
Yeah, so yeah. So something that I have learned and that God has really been teaching me is like you're not feeling what she is feeling emotional-wise. Mm-hmm. So my thought was like, well, here's the problem. The problem solved. Stop crying. But what I didn't realize was there's something going on more internally for her. Mm-hmm. And being the servant of the household is being there in whatever season, whether she's crying, whether Macy's crying, whatever. You know, a lot of people think being the servant of the household and being the leader of the household is just providing and, you know, providing income or whatever. It's a lot deeper than that. If she's having a bad day, if Michelle's having a bad day, I scratch what I do. And I go help her. In the first 2 to 3 months, I wasn't doing that. Mm-hmm. And it caused tension in our marriage. I was putting like work and other things. You know, I'm growing my YouTube channel too. I'm growing my streaming platforms. Like I was putting that, I don't want to say above you, but in a sense, I was like, well, I know nothing's wrong with her, so I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, doing that thing. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way to do it. And one thing I will say is, the Lord is going to bless you if you do it His way compared to doing it your way. Because those times I put those things ahead of my wife, I didn't have a good day. Like mm-hmm. I just straight up didn't. Like at the end of the day, I felt like I didn't do enough and I felt like a bad husband. So that's just something that I've had to navigate personally, is making sure just everyone's taken care of. I don't know. That kind of seems just like a big rant, but that's something I wanted to tell everyone. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know a lot of people that watch are, you know, wanting to be husbands or are husbands looking to have children and whatnot. And mm-hmm. you're going to have to put a lot of your work and things that you like to do on the back burner and serve your wife, because there's going to be times where you don't want to make dinner and you don't want to do dishes and she's doing something with the baby and you're going to have to do it anyway. That's all. Go ahead, honey.
Okay. yeah, that was really good. I think that that was like the big hurdle that we had to get over, because Asher and I have a firm belief that like when you have a relationship with the Lord, you don't have anything wrong mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And because we both come from a past of struggling with that. And after we gave our lives to Jesus, it just like disappeared,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was hard for me to also come to the realization that something was going on, because I was like, no, like I'm strong. Like I got the Lord. I'm fine. Like this is all fine. And within the past couple months, I've just like kind of accepted what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been easier to get over.
Yeah.
So like I accepted the fact that like this postpartum depression thing that actually happens, like, is real, mm-hmm. and you feel it, and I'm just accepting it now and just allowing the Lord to help me through it and give me patience with her, especially because like I said, it's not only you struggling internally with something, like you're also supposed to cater to your child's needs yeah. at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just difficult, but there's a girl that I follow that explain this very well. I don't know word for word what it said, but basically you feel like you are drowning and like you want to run away and that motherhood is so hard. But at the same time, you realize how you're living in an answered prayer and how much you love and care for your baby. And that's how God cares about us. Like the love that you have for your baby is just a glimpse of his love for us. Like I would do anything for that little girl. I mm-hmm. think we both would.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a mixture of both of those, which is really, really hard to balance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my expectations for motherhood were totally wrong. I thought that, I mean, if you guys don't know my background, I didn't want to have kids for a really long time. And I kept telling everyone that I was just not going to have any. And then when I gave my life to Jesus, I got excited about it. And I was like, oh yeah, here we go. Like I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. And when it happened, I thought I was prepared, but I don't think you can be prepared for anything. We weren't prepared for marriage. We yeah. got thrown into it. And yeah. we just, you know, I think a lot of people are
people will take that out of context and be like, what do you mean? Like you didn't go to marriage. No, we're saying that the challenges that you're going to face, there's nothing you can really prepare. Like you can't prepare, you can't be ready.
Right. Exactly.
That's the proper word for yes. it is being ready. You can prepare for certain things to happen. You can talk about certain things, mm-hmm. but being quote unquote ready, I don't think that we're going to be ready for any of the challenges in life. That's why they're called challenges.
Yeah. I think it's easy to get wrapped up in accepting a title. So like I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a wife, you know,
yeah.
like what does that mean? Okay. Well, that means like putting you above me and serving the house and taking care of the house. And it means so much more than just slapping on a title. And that's what I thought motherhood was going to be. It was mm-hmm. just going to be like, yeah, I'm a mom, yeah. you know? Well, now I serve my husband and my child and I don't have time to do the things that I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to die to myself every day. Like you want to talk about a sacrificial love, become a parent,
mm-hmm.
because you will be putting your children above all of your needs. Like mm-hmm. there might be some days where we don't eat dinner until she's asleep for bed, which is now 8 o'clock, but it used to be later than that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like you have to give up some things. And I don't think I was fully prepared for it.
Yeah.
And I think that this is why a lot of times parents are like, oh yeah, going from one to two is easier from than going from zero to one. And I totally agree already. And we don't even have another one.
Yeah.
Like I just, there's so many things that we were talking about through this experience that we're like, we're not going to do this next time, or we're going to do it this way. Or there's just a lot of things that we're learning and we're trying to give ourselves grace through the whole thing. But I also think that putting expectations on something can just really wreck your experience.
Yes, it can.
And yeah. This is something that my dad taught me growing up. Like we would go on vacation. He was like, always expect something to go wrong. And I'm like, negative Nelly, you know, like, why would you say that? But like, now I know where he was coming from, exactly. You know, he's like, don't expect it to be perfect because it's not going to be.
Yeah.
Like something's going to go wrong and then you're going to have to adjust, and you need to be able to adjust. And I think a lot of people, their relationship with the Lord actually helps them adjust to things because they've gone through so much. Mm-hmm. Like the Lord has just like put so many things in front of them and different experiences, and they're just learning to adapt. And, you know, I just think it's really healthy for everyone to have that mindset going into any season, like whether you're getting married, whether you're having a kid, like whatever you're doing, if you're moving away from your family, like just be able to adapt to things. And if you're anything like me, where you're OCD and you love to be in control, it is going to wreck you if you try to hold on to those traits, because that's something that's wrecked me.
That's something that I wanted to talk about, is giving up control, because there are a lot of things that we still wanted to control, but if we wanted to still control some things that we were doing in marriage, she would be dead.
Yeah.
Like she would have died.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have been tending to her needs. And that was the biggest part for, it wasn't like we were resenting her. That's not what we're getting at. It was just a big change of pace. And it was almost like no one told us this. I think we got told once by a nurse, if you're on a schedule, be ready to not be. And that was really the only thing we got told. And so it was really just a big, it was just a big shock for us. And then when we would go on the internet, we would be on Instagram and TikTok or whatever, and we would see other moms or other dads, and we'd be like, this is how easy it is to take your 1 month old out and this and that. And then we see them like not cry and not do this. And we're like, well, if we do that, she's just going to be screaming and we'll just be embarrassed the whole time. We can't bring her to Target at 2 months. She loses it if we go outside.
She's just now learning to go out places because we didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. So it was a big challenge for us. I would say the biggest challenge was comparison, because what we would do is we would take other people's situations, compare it to ours, and then we would have conflict. You and I would have conflict and being like, well, we need to do it like them. And then when we realized that we couldn't do it like them, it would cause like an argument between us. We would go into an argument and then we would step back and then we would say, well, we're not actually arguing with each other. We're arguing at this situation. So we would look at it differently. But yeah, I lost my train of thought there.
The schedule and control.
Oh yes. Yeah. So for example, something that I was a big scheduled person on is streaming in the morning. So I would stream from about 8:30 to 11:45 noon. It would be like 3 hours, because that's the way I would spread the gospel. That's the way I would, just listen or talk to non-believers, and
I would just be working.
Yes. And Michelle would just be working. So it was like, okay, well, that's fine. And when we had her, I was like, well, nothing's going to change because her nap time's in the morning and she sleeps for 2 hours. No.
Wrong-o.
She didn't sleep at all. And Michelle still had to work because I'm not some trillionaire. So we don't make enough off of my income to withstand our family. So Michelle still needs to work at this time. And in my head, I was like, well, I still need to do this because this is like an investment. I know if I continue to do this, it will grow. Maybe, you know, I can make money and then you can quit your job and this and that. But something I didn't realize is I was putting that above her. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is now I'm not doing it nearly as much. And I'm making sure she's taken care of, Macy's taken care of before I go in there and do that. I'm streaming like half the time. Oops. I'm streaming. Ow, that really hurt.
I'm surprised that didn't go anywhere.
Metal straw just went to my wrist.
Streaming half the time.
Yeah, I stream half the time. So I'll stream like max like 2 hours, but usually it's like hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. And I'm still being able to post videos on YouTube and stuff like that. And it feels like not only am I in a better headspace, but also the channel's like growing more. And I'm not saying like this is like the Lord like putting his favor on and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But something I've realized is the fulfillment doesn't really come with that. The fulfillment really comes with doing it God's way and letting go of control, mm-hmm. and making sure that his children are taken care of first.
Yeah.
Before I can do my thing.
Yeah.
So that's been the hardest thing for me is letting go of that control, because trust me, I've been wanting to go hit golf balls for I used to play golf every day.
Yeah.
And I haven't played golf in 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to stream 3 hours, 6 days a week, and I freaking love doing it. And now I stream 3-4 days a week for like an hour and a half, and it is what it is. But what's funny is when I was still trying to incorporate those things and control it,
mm-hmm.
I was at a way worse mental spot.
Yeah.
And it feels like that came out and there were like some resentment issues where, well, I need to do this. I need to do this. And it's like, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. Says who?
Yeah.
Who said, God didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said that.
Yeah.
And it's because I wanted to keep control. I didn't want to give up control in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really good. I think I also struggle with the same thing where I was like, I'm going to do this, especially since I am a schedule person, right?
Well, your thing was cleaning.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. Your biggest thing was cleaning, making sure the house is spotless.
Okay, so I have literally lived by myself since the fall of 2020, okay? Well, until we got married, which mm-hmm. was last April, okay? And before that, I lived with my parents in an apartment downtown Cincinnati, and I was the one that took care of the apartment. Like I was the maid, is mm-hmm. what my dad called me. Okay. I am a clean freak and I like to keep my area tidy. I think personally it's very helpful mentally to live in a clean space. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Rightfully yeah. so. Okay. I think it makes sense. But when you have
sorry.
You're still on camera.
I know. I don't care.
Okay. When you have a baby who in our situation never takes a nap, it's really hard to get stuff done.
Yes, it is.
So I would wear her and I would try to do things, but then I would get frustrated because when you have a wrap on, you can't really bend over. You have to squat.
Mm-hmm.
And so like picking stuff up and like doing all of that was just, it was a mess. So there would be days where I would literally throw a fit if I couldn't clean. And obviously my daughter's more important than cleaning, and cleaning can happen when she goes to bed. So that's been a huge shift because now we spend the first, she goes to bed around like 7:30, 7:45, and we spend the first hour just tidying up, getting ourselves ready for bed. And then we have from 9 until 10 to like spend time with each other, which was also a huge adjustment because Asher and I would literally be done with work, working out and all of the personal stuff by like 5 p.m., 4 or 5.
Four or five, yeah.
And then we would spend the entire evening together before we had a baby. So that was a huge adjustment, just like having to step back from like spending a lot of time together. And side note, we do not have family here. Like, I just want to preface this.
Oh, yes.
Our experience is coming from us not having a quote unquote village. It's literally just us.
Yeah.
We
that
don't
both work full time.
Yes. We're both working full time jobs from home and have a baby and do not have a babysitter. She doesn't go to daycare. Like, we take care of her. So that was also a huge adjustment. But like being able to step back from those things and prioritize her has been the biggest adjustment. But it's gotten a lot easier as she's gotten older. Mm-hmm. And as like, I always say it's gotten easier because of her age, but I really think it's because we've gotten used to things.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like we're just in a rhythm.
And that's why I think 2 is going to be easier from 0 to 1, from 1 to 2. Cause we're like,
we're used to it.
Yeah. We're just used to it.
And yeah.
And that's why we're filming this.
Yes.
Because it's like, we're just used to it. Like she's going to wake up any second now.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to pause this and continue. And it's like, well, we're used to this.
Yeah.
We used to get really frustrated. Mm-hmm. We were in the middle of something. She would start crying in her nap and then be like, oh gosh, dang it. Like, why can't you just fall asleep? Now it's like, well, that's just how she is.
Yeah.
Some babies sleep for an hour and a half. She sleeps for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you go through different stages. So like her schedule changes and sleep patterns change and all that stuff. But, it has been hard to set things aside and to tend to her when you're used to doing things a certain way.
Yeah.
So if you're a creature of habit, once you have a baby, you're not going to be a creature of habit anymore.
Yeah, you're just not.
It's going to change. And I, again, like we said earlier, I just think that this is also beneficial for your relationship with the Lord to be able to adjust to things.
Yes.
So
He will put you in front of things that you're like, oh crap, I have been struggling with this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not even kidding, like having a kid like reveals that in plain sight.
Yeah.
And for both of us, a big thing is control.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was putting like work and other things above her. And without a baby, you may not see that. But mm-hmm. then once a baby gets presented in your relationship, you're like, oh shoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also another thing is patience.
Yeah.
That's something that hurt.
Yeah, okay,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
What?
About patience that you were going to talk about?
Yeah, so I was just going to mention she's waking up.
Yeah, she's waking up. We'll see how much longer.
I was going to mention it's coming. Hold on. I was going to mention how like we always pray for things.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that Asher and I prayed for when we first had a baby was patience.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, for some reason, I thought that the Lord was just going to be like, here's patience.
Yeah. Magic dust.
Yeah. That's not how it happens. What he does is he puts you in situations that forces you to practice patience.
Yeah.
So
don't pray for that. Just letting y'all know. Don't pray at all, because he'll answer prayers. I'll tell you right now, God cannot wait to make you a fussy baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do think that this parenting season that we've gone through has been huge for us to learn from, not only when it comes to kids, but also the things that we struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you may have already said this, but You have issues before you have kids. And by issues, I mean you have things internally that you struggle with. And then the second you have a baby, all of that comes to the surface.
All of it, yeah.
It's like you knew it was there, but it wasn't that noticeable
mm-hmm.
until you had a kid.
Yeah.
And then you're like, and I would argue and say that it actually happened when we got married too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the hardest part for me, like I said, I lived alone for so long that when we got married, I was like, wait a second. Like I can't take care of myself first. I have to take care of you first.
Mm-hmm.
And our situation was a little bit different because I was pregnant right away and miserable.
Yeah.
So it was, especially like the first trimester, it was really hard for me to serve you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, I lost what I was saying.
About the
Oh yeah. Just like, no, I forget what I was saying.
You were saying like, you know, when you get presented a baby, everything's going to come to the surface.
Yeah. But then I was saying something else.
Oh, well,
yeah. The biggest thing that I struggled with before we got married and before we had a baby was being selfless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like in marriage, it's like one step, you know, but then you add another human on top of that. And then you keep adding humans if you want more kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're at the bottom. Now, I'm not saying that you need to completely disregard your self-care Absolutely not. Yeah. It's important. And that's when you guys will have to balance. And like, I tell him, I'm like, hey, I just need to go take a shower and just like relax. Like mm-hmm. that's my me time, mm-hmm. you know? But like, if you, I knew that this was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to be this bad. Like if you're like me and you struggle with dying to yourself and putting others' needs above you, like you're going to learn real quick when you get married. And then also when you start having kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest lesson for me in then giving up control.
Yeah. I want to end this by saying like the reality of you having children is your reality. Mm-hmm. So don't make it someone else's reality. We got fed a bunch of stuff about what we need to quote unquote do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that's what y'all did. But our kid is not like that.
Yeah.
So I like, this is also like giving advice, but I don't really think it is like as much as be sure to do this and this and this. My only advice with children and kids in general is just attend to your baby. Mm-hmm. Don't attend to what the kid down the street and how they were raised. Yeah. Attend to your kid. It took us 3 months to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, guys, your pediatrician may tell you something that is completely and utterly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. I don't care if they have a certificate or whatever they go to school for.
It's more than a certificate.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
They may be wrong. Yeah. And I know that may like trigger some. Oh, I listen to my. I'm not saying don't listen
I'm
to them.
Talking
but
I'm talking about advice, yeah. not like medical.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
saying that exactly.
This is also just our experience.
Exactly.
Like we were told advice on something.
Exactly. So one thing that our pediatrician said was put the pack and play in the living room. She'll sleep there. No, she won't. She was wide awake and she would cry. She needs to be in complete blackness.
Yes.
With a sound machine if she wants to even go to sleep for 10 minutes.
They also told us to bottle feed her and then I had a hard time.
Yeah,
it
was a lot of stuff. So all I'm saying is the people that give you advice, they don't know what's going on at home.
Yeah.
So just tend to that baby.
Yeah.
But
wait, you want to go get her?
Sure. Okay. We're going to end it with Macy. Yeah, maybe we should put some headphones on you.
Is she smiling?
Yeah.
Did you have a good nap? Say hello.
But yeah.
Here's Macy.
Here's Macy for everyone to see.
And if y'all are just listening, you're missing out on a really cute face.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube.
But we love you guys so much. Thank you all for tuning back in. We are going to do our best to do episodes every Wednesday. We have no idea. We were gone for randomly 6 months. So, but we are doing our best to do every Wednesday. And if y'all have topics or anything that y'all want us to cover, shoot them down in the comments, send us a DM, whatever. Follow us on all the socials for clips and whatnot. Love y'all so much. We'll catch y'all next Wednesday on the tripod, dude.